For instance, if we are reciting Bhadrasattva with a mind full of repentance, it is very, very beneficial. However, if we're just reciting the 100-syllable mantra, however, we don't have any repentance, then it doesn't really bring about a significant change. It's really important that when we're reciting the 100-syllable mantra that we have a mind of repentance. Similarly, when we're praying to our Vajra Guru, we must pray filled with great gratitude and belief, and then we really receive the blessing. Why is it that we pray for the blessing of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, of all the lineage masters? Because through this blessing of practicing the four empowerments, it enables the blessing of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and the lineage masters to enter into our body, speech and mind. And through this, we can increase our wisdom and we can cut through these afflictions. And then when we're meditating, don't meditate for too long a time, because if we do, then we enter into a state without awareness. It's this unaware state. It doesn't have that state of clarity, of awareness. For instance, when we just wake up in the morning, wake up from our dream, then do we not have a very clear state of mind? A luminous state of mind. We wake up, our body feels rested, our mind is very clear, very luminous. This is the best time to practice when we have just woken up in the morning. Maybe we can practice, meditate from 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock in the morning. And this will bring about the best results for our meditation practice. Then I've told you before, don't always meditate in your room. What you can do is you can open your curtains, you can open the window. It's good that we have fresh air coming in. Otherwise, what happens, as soon as we start to meditate, we start to fall asleep. And then the people try to make themselves so comfortable. They put this pillow here, and then they cover themselves with this blanket. And they're doing this purposefully, and then very quickly they fall asleep. When we were meditating on the mountain, first thing in the morning, we used to open the window, let the cold air in. We used to wear very little, look outside, and in this way begin our meditation. And what we can do is we can also meditate outside in the garden. We can meditate on a balcony. What many of the students over here say, oh, when I go and sit outside, then there's this chill. In samsara, where is there not a place where there is some chilly air? Worried about this, worried about that. In summer it's too hot. In winter it's too cold. And then the students don't practice. I can't practice inside. It's too cold with the air conditioner. And then outside, there's too much sun. It's too hot. I can't practice outside. Then when are you going to be able to practice? This just shows us that our self-grasping is too strong. The stronger our self-grasping, the greater our difficulties and the more we get sick. Look at these practitioners in the mountains. They spend 20 or 30 years meditating in a cave. How come they don't suffer from this chill? They're not worried about the wind and the weather. At this age, when it's time to get sick, we will get sick. When it's time to get old, we get old. Isn't that just the way it is? If our self-grasping is too strong, then it doesn't matter what conditions we find ourselves in. It's not suitable. High altitude sickness, low altitude sickness. I'm not able to practice. Sleeping every day, wherever we go. It's just not the right conditions to practice. And then they come to the monastery. Oh no, I can't practice in the monastery. It's far too difficult, the conditions over here. I must eat vegetarian food every day. And then when they go somewhere else, then this is also not suitable. But at the same time, they're thinking, oh, look at the top of that mountain. Wouldn't it be so good, such a good place to practice? And look on top of that mountain over there. There's this nice little hut over there. Maybe I should go and practice over there. Every day, thinking about this, speaking about this, all of it. What use is it? And then when we get there, will we be able to practice? Once we get there, oh, this place is far too humid. Oh no, over here there's wind. Over there there's sun. Over there it's far too cold. Always something is wrong. Then practice at home. Oh, I can't practice at home. It's far too noisy. The family, my children. I then go and practice somewhere else. Oh, no, no, this is also a problem. Where are we going to go if we want to find a place that has no wind and no sun? The last few days I've been at home and I've had the air conditioner on all the time, day and night. And those students nearby me, they've been saying, oh, why is the air conditioning on for so long? I want to go and do the cusps to help and adjust my body because I've got this chill of my body. I'm feeling quite all right. Why are they all feeling uncomfortable? Why do they have this chill, experiencing this chill? Is this body of ours not made up of the four elements? And the people who don't sleep just die? Is this not all just a result of karma? Not giving ourselves an opportunity. When it's cold, we're not able to practice. When it's hot, we're not able to practice. This is not right. That is not right. Then when are we going to practice? Go and practice in the garden. Oh no, in the garden there are mosquitoes. There are really too many mosquitoes. Where are we going to practice? Then let's go and meditate on top of the mountain. Ah, it's far too cold on top of the mountain. With this type of attitude, when are we going to practice? All of this, why? Because of our self-grasping. Our self-grasping is far too strong. And at the end of the day, even although we haven't practiced, we still end up getting ill. I've already noticed that some of these people, every day they're doing the cusping of their body, they're adjusting their body, looking after their body, and every year they just seem to be sick, ill. This year they're all concerned about their health. Next year they're all concerned about their health, doing all sorts of things for their health. All of their life they are so concerned about their health, and still they are falling ill. And then we have these practitioners on top of the mountain. It's really incredibly cold. They really don't have a lot of clothes. Every day they are busy practicing non-stop. So the problem is not the conditions. The problem is our karma is very strong. Maybe we've done a lot of killing, abortions, all kinds of negative karma that we have generated. And as a result, we experience the suffering, the illness. And so rather really repent well. And then we might find that all of this chill that we are experiencing disappears. This clammy skin we get from the cold. I never knew this before about getting this clammy skin from the chill, from the cold. And then so many people come and they want to give me some kind of cure for this. And when they do this, it's really so painful that I'm not able to abide. Really, I can continue with this clammy skin from the chill much easier than the treatment. Practitioners, don't give yourself too many conditions, preconditions. In good conditions, you can practice. In very simple conditions, you can also practice. In a good environment, we can practice. In a not good environment, we can practice, isn't it? Whichever, it doesn't really matter. Whatever conditions we find ourselves in, we can practice. The other day we went and ate some noodles, and the place where we ate the noodles was very loud, very busy, and it was near a intersection. And I started to meditate there, and my helpers said, don't meditate over there. To some of the Tibetan helpers that were with me, they said, it's too noisy over there. Come, let's go. Don't meditate here. And Rinpoche said, no, I'm going to meditate here. I want to know what the experience is like to meditate over here. It's good if we have a calm, peaceful, good environment to practice, but don't give oneself too many requirements for the environment for us to be able to practice. If we create too many conditions, it just becomes an obstacle. Rather, just simply practice wherever you are. And then if we're practicing, if it's time for us to get the flu or to get a cold, it will happen. Naturally, it helps to be in good, healthy condition. However, if we have too many preconditions, too many requirements, then our body doesn't have a chance to adapt. Whatever the requirements our mind has, our body will follow. If we don't have any requirements of our body within our mind, then our body is not going to follow. As practitioners, just be relaxed according to the situation. If you have a room that is very small, okay. If the room doesn't have a window but it has a door, okay. Oh, I'm in such a wonderful place where I can sit outside. Isn't this wonderful? Is this not a much better attitude to have? Then if we don't have all of these attachments, all of these requirements, these desires, then it makes self-practice much, much easier. It's much easier to adapt and be satisfied. Otherwise, these problems are not problems other people have brought upon us. We have brought these problems upon ourselves. Don't have too many requirements. Look at the practitioner Milarepa. Did Milarepa suffer from clamminess from the cold? Did he suffer from all of these problems that everybody's so worried about? Look at the very difficult conditions in which he endured in his practice. And at the end of the day, he attained rainbow body. All of these ailments then became merit, didn't they? Look at his biography. Did Milarepa have all of these requirements that he could be able to practice? Eventually, the local people around Milarepa thought, poor, poor, poor Milarepa. Look at his condition. He doesn't have any food to eat. He barely has any clothes to wear. And through clairvoyance, Milarepa was singing the song. He felt how sad. He felt poor, poor sentient beings, these poor villagers. The local people looked at Milarepa as if he was just a sack of bones. They thought, oh, we don't even want to look at you. That's so sad, your condition. And Milarepa was looking at them and saying, oh, I'm so sad. What a pity. Look at your condition. At the end of the day, Milarepa attained enlightenment. This was his last experience of these sufferings. And all of these villages generated a lot of negative karma, and they descended to the lower realms. The result, completely different. When we are practicing, we must have respect for ourselves. And don't make too many comparisons. Don't have too many judgments. I'm in this environment today, let me practice. I'm in that environment today, let me practice. Irrespective of what the environment is like, if we are practicing, it's all a pure mandala. Wherever it is that we are busy reciting mantras, it is a pure mandala. Wherever it is that we are making aspirations, it is a pure mandala. Wherever it is that our body, speech and mind is virtuous, it is a pure mandala. It is all merit. The environment is pure and we ourselves are pure.